Sukkah Dav Ches Amud Beis, Tosfos Rabbi Maschil, Ribua Denofik Migoy Igula Palga. To once again recall, the Gemara was seeking out an understanding of Rabbi Yochanan's idea that you have to be able to have a sukkah that is able to fit 24 people, each of them fitting in an amma, meaning to have a circle that's 24 ammas in circumference, in order to be able to fit a 4x4 amma square, which is the view of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, of Rebbe. So the Gemara suggests that Rabbi Yochanan's view is in accordance with the Dayani de Kesari, that Ribua Denafik Migoy Igula Palga, that the ratio that indicates in terms of an outside circle and an inside square, a circumscribed circle and an inscribed square, is such that it will lend itself to that kind of calculation of a 4x4 square inside will require 24 amas of circumference. In explaining the precise meaning of ribua, the nafik migoy gula palga, so Tosfos quotes Rashi. In order to more fully understand the words of Rashi, as well as the subsequent words in part of this Tosfos, just a brief review of the two kinds of fractions that the Gemara commonly uses. The more familiar fraction milagav that we normally use, and the fraction milabar that is oftentimes used by the Torah and also by the Gemara. So to demonstrate, when we speak about, let's say, the number 100 and we want to take 25% or 1/4, so we would associate that as being 25. If we would take 1/5, we would associate that as being 20. That in the Gemara is called the fraction milagav, because you're taking the amount as it is and you're applying the fraction. Milagav meaning an inside fraction, or the way it is, internally. Utilizing that calculation of a fraction milagav, one could either add the amount of that fraction to the base or subtract it from the base. So, let's say in the case of a fifth, if you have 100 and you take a fifth, you would calculate that as 20 and either add it on to 100 to get 120, or you subtract it from 100 to get 80. But there's a different methodology of utilizing fractions, and that's called milabar. Milabar literally means from the outside. And what that indicates is that the fraction is being calculated not in the number as it is, but as the number will be when you either add on or subtract a certain amount. So for example, in the same example of having 100, and we're going to apply the fraction of a fifth. So applying that fraction of the fifth is not going to be applied right away to the number 100, which would yield 20, as an example above, but it's only going to be applied to an amount that's added on to the 100. So the question we have to ask ourselves in order to calculate a fraction milabar is what portion of 100, which when added on to 100, will be a fifth of the total amount. So in this case, we could see that if you add on 25 to the 100, you get 125. And that indeed, that 125 amount, when we take a fifth, we get 25. So the question again is, what amount do we have to add on in order to be that portion of the total amount? That's why it's called milabar, because it's outside, meaning once that amount is added on. This is exactly what the Torah means when it often obligates us in a chomesh, whether it's someone who eats truma by mistake, or someone who's being poda ma'isu sheni, or someone who swears in court about some kind of business matter falsely. They ask to add a chomesh, so Mefarshim point out that's really what we would call a quarter, because it's being calculated not milagav from the internal measurement, but milabar from the external measurement. If we were doing that in the reverse direction, even though this is the first time I really thought this through in the sugya, so then it would be calculated as follows. If we start, for example, with 100, and then we want to know, how do we subtract a fraction milabar? So the answer to that would be, how much do we have to subtract such that in the remaining amount, after the subtraction, the amount that we subtracted would represent that fraction of the remainder. That sounds somewhat convoluted, but that's the way it's calculated. So if, for example, we start out with the number 125, and we ask ourselves, how do we subtract 1/4 of that milabar? So the answer to that is, we wouldn't take 1/4 of 125. We would figure how much we have to subtract from it such that when applying the fraction of quarter, that amount that we subtracted would represent 1/4 of the remainder. So if we subtract 25 from 125, we get 100. And 25 that we subtracted represents 1/4 of the remainder. 100 divided by 4 is 25. A quick way to see that is when you apply the regular fraction of 1/4 to what you have after you subtract, so then you get back to where you started. So in the example we gave, we started off with 125. We subtracted 1/4 milabar, which led to our coming up with 25, because the 25 is going to be 1/4 of the remainder. So now when we take that remainder of 100 and then we apply the fraction 1/4, we get 25, and we add it back, we get back to where we started. So there's a symbiosis here. When you subtract of a fraction milabar, so then you get an amount that when you apply that same fraction milagav, you get back to where you started. And the same would be true in the reverse direction. When you add a fraction milabar, so then that same fraction applied milagav, when you subtract from the total amount, would get you back to where we started. As an example of that, 100 adding a fifth milabar will get you 125, which is what we would call 1/4. And when you apply a fifth to that amount and then you subtract 125 minus a fifth, in a milagav fashion, you get back to 100. This symbiosis, then, when you apply the fraction of milabar in one direction, you apply the fraction of milagav in the other direction, is seen by the Gemara. Because at the beginning of Chesamar Aleph, the Gemara said, how much more is the outside square more than the inside circle? And the Gemara answered, rova. Now, that clearly is using a fraction milabar, because the interrelationship between the inside circle and the outside square is a ratio of 4 to 3. So if we started with the circle and we used the fraction milagav, we'd call it a third, as we noted in our presentation of the Tosis on Chesamar Aleph. So if the Gemara is calling it a rova, so that means it's using a fraction milabar, which is calculated, as we mentioned earlier, by subtracting one from the denominator, so it's a third, where we enlarge the fraction. On the other hand, in the bottom of the page, the Gemara quotes the Dayani de Kesari that say that in Igula, Migoi, Ribua, that when you have a circle inside a square, so they say the word rova. And Rashi interprets that to mean that same rova, not adding a fraction to the circle in order to get the area of the square, but rather taking the area of the square and subtracting in order to get the area of the circle. So there, Rashi interprets the rova as a straightforward fraction of milagav. That's exactly what we said. In one direction, it's milabar, from the circle to the square, when you're adding. And the other direction, it's milagav, when you're going from the square to the circle, where you're subtracting. To create a formula for this, which I worked out some years ago, when you are adding on a fraction milabar, you take the ordinary fraction, which we would normally use what's called milagav. So let's say if you're trying to add on 1/4, so you take the denominator, and you subtract 1 and make a larger fraction. So if you want to add on a fraction of 1/4 milabar, then you take what we would call a third and then add it on. And the reverse will be true in the reverse direction. If you want to subtract a fraction milabar, so then you would take the fraction at hand and you would add 1 to the denominator. In the case that we mentioned earlier with 125, and we were looking to subtract a fraction of 1/4 milabar, so we add 1 to the denominator, and then we get a fifth, and a fifth of 125 is 25. In light of that introduction, I think we could better understand the Rashi that Tosis is about to quote, as well as we mentioned some aspects of this Tosis. Perish Bekuntris, in explaining the phrase that is mentioned by the Dayone de Caesarea, Ribua denafik migoya gula palga, that when you have an inside square and an outside circle, so the ratio is somehow defined as half. What exactly does that mean? Pirish Bekuntris. Kishata merabea betocha eagle, when you draw a square inside a circle, fits snugly, an inscribed square inside a circumscribed circle, square on the inside side and a circle on the outside side. Atanolta mimenu chatzi ashir hanisharbo. You're going to be taking away from the total area of the circle half of the amount that will remain. So that should remind us of what we call a fraction milabar. In this case, we're taking the total area of the circle and we're trying to subtract a fraction of a half milabar. And how does subtracting milabar work? As we mentioned, you don't calculate it as it is with the total area of the circle, but you calculate it as it's going to be. So as it's going to be is after you already removed that portion from the total area of the circle. So Rashi notes that when you remove a certain portion from the circle and you're left with a square, so you're removing the circular part surrounding the square, so half of that square, that's the idea of palga, right, is going to equal what you took away. You took away a portion that's going to equal a half of what's remaining. And as we mentioned before, you could reverse that to see it easier, that when you're left with a square and then you add on a regular fraction of a half milagav, you're going to get back to where you started. So Rashi then continues, Dehainu tilsa dekula, that idea of utilizing the half fraction, which is seemingly being calculated milabar, that could also be called a third of all of it. And that is what we would refer to as an ordinary fraction, milagav, an internal fraction, that you take the total circle and you subtract a third, and then that gives you the square. In sum, what we have here is we have three portions. Two portions are taken by the square, and one portion is taken by the additional part that's beyond the square. So if you remove a third from the total area, so you're left with those two portions. And another way to say that is you're removing a half, because with respect to the square, you're removing a half of its total area by removing the outside. So then Rashi adds, Hilkach l'sheish esrei ribua, tzorach ha'igol hamakifo saviv lios chavdalid. So therefore, based on that idea of what emerges to be what we would call a 3-to-2 ratio, because you have three total parts, one third of that is taken up by the additional part that forms the circle, and two parts of that are taken up by the square. So we have a 3-to-2 ratio. So therefore, Rashi now extends, as Tosis is going to elaborate, from the concept of area, which is the way we explained it, to perimeter or circumference. So Hilkach l'sheishes re'ribua, if you have a square that's 16 amos in perimeter, which is exactly Rebbe's sukkah of 4x4 amos. So therefore, in order to get the circumference of the circle that will surround that square, so you use the 3-to-2 ratio, and in this case, you're going to add a half to the 16, this time milagav, because we're adding rather than subtracting. Tzarecha igal amakifo saviv lios chavdalid. So then you're going to take a half of 16, which is 8, and then add to 16, and you're going to get 24 amos, which is exactly Rabbi Yochanan's number 24 of 24 amos of circumference, which he calls fitting 24 people in order to be able to have an inscribed 4x4 sukkah, which is Rebbe's shear for the sukkah. To perhaps explain why Rashi utilizes this somewhat a complex calculation of palga, where he interprets it as subtracting a half milabar, as we explained earlier, why didn't he just say that palga means that when you take your square on the inside side and you add a literal half, meaning a fraction milagav, 50% a half, so you get the full area of the circle together with the square, the circumscribed circle together with the inscribed square, the outside circle and the inside square. Why did he have to subtract using this rather complicated calculation of milabar, where it's you're subtracting a portion such that it'll be the remaining square, half of that area? So I believe what Rashi is doing here, because the Dayani de Kesari actually said two things. They said the statement that was quoted earlier on in the Gemara Chesamet Aleph, that a inigula denafik migoi ribua, meaning where you have an inside circle and an outside square, so that's rova. That's the fraction a quarter. And a ribua, the nafik migoy gula, a square inside a circle, so that's palga. So Rashi, and this is something that Tosis is going to develop further on, sees a lack of parallel between these two parts. Because to recall earlier, when you had an inscribed circle and a circumscribed square, so there the ratio was 4 to 3. And the way we assess that is that when you start with your circle, if you want to figure out what the area of the square is, so you have to add what we would call a third, what would also be called a fourth if we're using Milabar calculations. If you're starting with the square on the outside side, again, with the outside square and the inside circle, so if you want to figure out how to get the area of the circle, so we would call that, without using a fraction milagav, you subtract a quarter or a rova. But that could also be phrased as subtracting a third milabar. So in order to get some kind of consistency here, Rashi interprets that line that when you have an inside circle and an outside square, where the Dayane de Kesari refer to that as rova, as referring to that you take your outside shape and you subtract a certain fraction. And that fraction is a rova. That fraction meaning a rova, a quarter, and that's literally what we would call a rova, a quarter of the total amount. So even though there's some inconsistency, as Tosis is going to note later and he's going to try to resolve it, but Rashi takes that same model that we're taking the total area and we're subtracting a certain portion and he applies it to the outside circle and the inside square. They're what the Gemara calls the ribua, migoi, igula. And there the Gemara says palga. So we're subtracting a half. But we've subtract a half of the total area of the circle. We're not going to get the inside square. That's going to be much less than the inside square. So therefore Rashi had to interpret the Gemara as the palga in the second instantiation utilizing a fraction milabar, even though the rova of the first instantiation was a rova milagav. That's what I believe Rashi is driving at. Again, we shall see later in the Tosis that he is unhappy with this lack of parallel, and therefore he gives another interpretation of these two lines of the Dayane de Kesari. The only problem is that this proportion of 3 to 2 for the perimeter of a circle to the perimeter of a square is much too large, as the Gemara notes, that it's not a correct calculation. A problem that Tosfos will re-raise in questioning how the Dayane de Kesari and Rabbi Yochanan can make this error. In reality, using the formulas we are used to, for an inside square of 4 units of measurement, as would be the case for Rebbe Shita requiring a 4x4 amma inscribed square, the diameter will actually be 4 times the square root of 2, which is the multiple of the diagonal, and in this case, the diagonal of the inscribed square becomes the diameter of the circle. So, 4 times the square root of 2, or approximately 4 times 1.4, gets us 5.6. The circumference then will be pi times 5.6, or roughly 3 times 5.6, which equals 16.8. Once again, way below Rabbi Yochanan's 24, hence the problem. Note that the 16 amma perimeter of the inside square is very close in number to the 16.8 amma circumference of the outside circle, a ratio of only 21 to 20, or only 1/20th more of the circumference over the perimeter of the square. We note that that's a much closer ratio than the case of the inscribed circle mentioned on Amud Aleph. We have an inside circle and an outside square where the ratio was 4 to 3, or 1/3 more perimeter of the square over the circle inside. So Tosis, though, challenges Rashi and says, V'dover teimahu ze ma inyan ze etzel ze, that what does one thing have to do with the other? How are they related? Exactly what Tosis means is debated. The Marshal gives one shot, the Maharam gives another, and the Tosis HaRosh gives a third. So we'll go with the Tosis HaRosh's pshat, because perhaps it's the simplest, that Tosis already explained on the previous Amud, that just because areas have a certain proportion, it does not follow from that at all, automatically, that the perimeters will have a certain proportion in the same way. So even though it happened to work out with an inside circle and an outside square, that the proportion of both the area and the circumference of the perimeter was a ratio of 4 to 3. But there's no guarantee that that'll work. And hence, as Rashi's describing area, that ribua denofik migoy igula palga, that the total area is being decreased from the circle to the square by a half. Again, the usage of that half is in the fancy way we mentioned earlier. A half of the area of the square is now being decreased by removing the outer part of the circle. So applying that to the perimeter is not in any way following from the fact that the area has this ratio of 3 to 2, that the perimeters and the circumference would have a ratio of 3 to 2. That's the way the Tosfos Rashi explains this kasha of ma'inyan zeitzel zeh. So we'll assume that Tosfos means that as well. So therefore, Tosfos gives his own interpretation as to what the Gemara was assuming this line of ribua denafik migoy gula palga meant. Ella yesh lefarish. Ribua denafik migoy gula palga means concerning the diameter of the circle, which is the diagonal of the square, with respect to the side of the square. Ribua denafik migoy igula palga would mean me rochbo shel ogel machazik rochav haribua. That if you take the width of the circle, which you mentioned briefly, Tosfos is going to state that in a moment explicitly, is the diagonal of the square, inside square and outside circle. So the diagonal of the square is going to be equivalent to the diameter of the circle. So if you take that width of the circle, namely the diameter, so that will be machzik, that will measure twice of the rochav haribua, of the width of the circle, or the width of the square, or the side, one side of the square. So again, the words being ribua denofik migoy gula palga, that the square, meaning the side of the square, is going to be a half, a palga, of the width of the circle. Bekitzor, the width of the square is a half of the width of the circle. We refer to the width of the circle as diameter, and the width of the square is the side of the square. Tosfos further elaborates, Nimsa zavius shel ribua, hamagian ad eagle, the corners of the square, the opposite corners of the square, that is, that actually touch the circle, and that's the diagonal of the square, which is also the diameter of the circle, kiflayim al rochav haribua. It's double the width of the square or the side of the square. That's what that phrase means, not referring to what Rashi points out to area and then extending that to perimeter, which Tosfos found difficult, but actually just referring to width. Ribua denafik migoy gula palga, the width of the side of the square is a half of the width of the circle. The advantage that Tosfos sees in this interpretation is that if the discussion of the Gemara is about the width of the circle and the width of the square, or the diameter of the circle and the side of the square, so then that is readily translatable ratio-wise into the ratio or the circumference of the circle and the perimeter of the square. If the diameter is a certain size, so you multiply by pi or by 3 in approximation to get the circumference, and if the side of the square is a certain amount, so you multiply by 4 to get the perimeter. So going with the assumption that the width of the circle is double the side of the square, so if the side of the square is 4, in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's 4 by 4 amma square, so then the diameter of the circle will be 8, and then that multiplied by the approximation of 3 will get you 24, which is Rabbi Yochanan's 24. And this pshat, according to Tosfos, doesn't present the same problem that Tosfos had with Rashi's pshat, that the area and the circumference are in no way related, but the width, the diameter, and then the side of the square are certainly directly related to the perimeter and the circumference of the square and the circle, respectively, because they're just a multiple of each other, either a multiple of 4 in the case of a square, or a multiple of 3 in the case of a circle. According to this, it's totally different from what it meant on the Amud Aleph, where it says that an igula de nafik migori bua, where you have an inside circle, so then it's reva yoser, it's a quarter more. There it's referring to, again, either area or perimeter, but not to the width. The Tosis now summarizes what the implications of that are. The kasavar kol amsa biribua tre amis balaksona. That every amma of a base of a square, side of a square, is going to lead to a diagonal of 2 amas, or double. The real formula, the correct formula, is, as we saw in the Amud Aleph, is every amma of the flat leg of a triangle of a square is going to lead to 1.4 in the diagonal, or the hypotenuse of a triangle. Or in the language of Chazal, every 1 amma will have 1 2/5 of an amma in the diagonal. But in the calculation, according to Etos is explaining, and the same calculation would work out according to Rashi's interpretation, even though he doesn't interpret the words that way, but that's what it would emerge for Rashi's interpretation as well, that every amma of leg would lead to 2 amas of diagonal. Tre amas balaksona. So, of course, as we directly see here, it just ain't so, as the Gemara pointed out, whatever the interpretation is of the Gemara, whether like Rashi or like Tosis, but either way, the math doesn't work out. So now Tosis raises the obvious question, how could it be that the Dayani de Kesari and Rabbi Yochanan, who the Gemara suggests are following them, made such an error, especially in light of the fact that, as Tosis pointed out in the previous Tosis, in the bottom of Chesamad Aleph, that is the only pshat that Rabbi Yochanan is interpreted as meaning in the Gemara Neirovin. In the words of Tosfos V'Tema, I wonder, Heyach To B'Mida, Rabbi Yochanan V'Dayani De Kesari, how could they make this error? The Me'achar Shalom Du HaDavar, that since it seems clear that they didn't actually measure it, because if they would have measured it, then they would have gotten the correct measurement. Heich asu klal al davar she'eino. How could they make a rule about something that doesn't exist without properly measuring it? How could these great sages do so? So here is Tosis's interesting approach as to how the error crept up. V'yesh lomar, the Kabbalah biyodam. This was not a rule that they invented without measuring. They never would have done that. But rather it was a tradition. Loshen ze, this statement. Shel, quote, Ribua migoigula palga, that a square that is inscribed into a circle is hef. Hu emes, and it is a true statement, le'inyan hamakom, concerning the area. As Rashi interpreted our Gemara initially, which Tosfos had a problem with that how does that extend to perimeter? But that idea that the ratio of the area of the outside circle to the area of the inside square is a ratio of 3 to 2, namely the idea of palga, that as a fraction, as we mentioned earlier, milabar, really meaning a third milagav, that when you take away a third of the total area, you're going to get the measurement of the area of the square, again, a ratio of 3 to 2. So that's true, l'inyan amokum, meaning in terms of the area. V'lo l'inyan orach achut hamakif, and not with respect to the perimeter, literally the string that goes around, v'harochav, or the diameter, or the width of the square, in accordance with orach achut hamakif, that's Rashi's pshat, or harochav, that's Tosis's pshat, of the initial understanding of the Gemara. So that's wrong, that application, that the palga would apply to the circumference of the perimeter or would apply to the width of the diameter. There isn't a ratio of 3 to 2. But it is true, the makom haribua shebetocha igul mismait chatsi shel ribua, Who tilsa the chule eagle. Tosis now uses the same phraseology of Rashi, because that initial statement that Rashi makes about the area is a correct statement. That the area, the makom of the square inside the circle, is going to lessen the area by a half of the square, meaning the language of Rashi, that half the area of the square is going to be taken away from that outside circle by drawing that square. The hutilsa, the kuli eagle, in fractions that we're more familiar with, the total area will then be lessened by a third, and then you get the square. Again, a ratio of 3 to 2, 3 total parts, 2 parts in the inside square, and 1 part in the outside circle. That is a true idea. So Tosis is ultimately saying that the way that that error was able to be made is not that the Dayani de Kesari and Rabbi Yochanan made up a rule without measuring, and obviously if they had measured, they would have come up with the correct rule, so why did they come up with an erroneous rule? Rather, they were receiving that rule by tradition, the rule that Igula, that Ribua, the Nafik, Migoy Igula, Palga, that an inside square, inside an outside circle, is Palga, that the measurements are lessened by a half. And really that statement was going on area, that is true, that the ratio is 3 to 2. But the Dayani de Kesari, and following them Rabbi Yochanan, erroneously assumed, according to Rashi, that would apply to perimeter as well, and according to Tosis, that would apply to the diagonal, which is ultimately the diameter of the circle as well, that its relationship with the side of the inside square. That was an erroneous application of that previously known rule. They didn't measure it themselves, but they were just applying that rule in a way that unfortunately was an error. It's interesting that the Vilna Gaon on the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, which was referenced by the Tosis on the Amud Aleph, writes that Chas V'Shalom, that Rabbi Yochanan and the Dayani de Kesari should misinterpret the rule that was received. And therefore he proceeds to explain how it should all work out, that Kol HaMakomo Yavo V'Shalom, that everything should work out. But it is also interesting that the Rabbeinu Chananel, on our page, you seem to have a girsa in the Gemara in Erevin that explicitly states that Rabbi Yochanan, who over there, to recall, said that a window has to be 24 tefachim in circumference in order to be able to have 4x4 tefachim on the inside side of an inscribed square, was explicitly based on the error of the Dayane de Kesari. So now Tosis turns to prove that idea that is true, according to all, that the outer circle has a 3-to-2 ratio with the inside square. Teda. So now Tosis develops, as he has done in the previous Tosis, an ingenious kind of proof for that. And once we've done this, we'll go back to try to prove that as well, based on the regular mathematical principles that we're familiar with from what we've learned in geometry. Teda. Tosis proves this idea of the ratio of 3 to 2 of the outside circle and the inside square. Sheim tasa ribua shel eser al eser. Once again, we return our diagram that Tosis had in the previous Amud, on the second to the last Tosis. If you make a square of 10 by 10 units, with the chalkano shesiva erev, and once again, you divide it up with a cross hatching from left to right and top to bottom. V'tachzor v'tasa ribua bifnim, and then you create a square inside, la'alaksona, to the diagonals, as we saw earlier, where you turn the square on its side so it looks like a diamond. La'alaksona shel ribuim, moving to the bottom of the diagram, to the diagonals of shel ribuim ktanim, of the four squares that Tosis makes from this bigger square of 10 by 10, so he's making four squares of 5 by 5, and the square turned on its side, looking like a diamond, is the tips of that are touching the adjoining points of those squares, as indicated in the diagram. Kenyan Shepirashti Leil, as he explained earlier. So once again, as he said earlier, the previous Amud, Nimtza Ribua Pnimi Chetzio Shel Chitzon. The inside square is a half of the outside square, as demonstrated earlier, again briefly, because since that inside square is made of half of all four of the smaller squares, so half of each square is obviously going to get you half the measurement of the total area, as you could see just visually from the diagram. So now, how does that prove anything about the circle? So now we're going to insert a circle. Imtasa ogel shel asara al asara betoch ribua chitzon. If you're going to create a circle of 10 by 10, again, we would refer to that as a circle of 10 diameter inside the outside square. So exactly how that looks is indicated by the next diagram in Tosis, where you clearly have an outside square and then you have a circle, which is the same width as the outside square. The diameter of the circle is the same as the side of the square. And then you have that inside square turned on its side, looking like a diamond inside the circle. So what do we have here? We have a circumscribed square, an inscribed circle, and inscribed in the inscribed circle, you have another square where the circle is circumscribed, is outside that square, and the square is inside the circle. So you have an inside square, a total outside square, and a circle in the middle. So now, how does that help the cause? So moving to the wide lines of Tosis now. So Yehei ha'ogul bein shnei haribuim, the circle is going to be between the two squares. Now, v'zeh chachnu, and we already proved in the previous Amud, which the Gemara stated and Tosis proved, shemeruba yeser ala igul revia, that the outside square is going to be a quarter more than the circle. We refer to that as a third, we elaborated on in our introduction to this Tosis, as well as in the other Amud. So the outside square is going to be a third more than the area of the circle. In Cain, ha'igul yeser al haribua pnimi, chesio shel pnimi. So then the circle that is bigger and circumscribing the inside square is going to be a half greater than the inside square. Here the fraction of a half is taken at face value, that literally it's a 3-to-2 ratio, as we shall see, and it's a half of the inside square that's being added on to add on to the area of that surrounding circle that surrounds the inside square. Dehainu, which is, skipping the parentheses based on the emendation of the Maharam, revia shel ribua chitzon, which is a quarter of the outside square. To elaborate further as to how this proof is operating, so to recall, Tosis already demonstrated that the inside square is half the area of the outside square. That's fact number one. Fact number two, the circle that's inside the outside square, if we added a third, we would get to its area, we would get the area of the outside square. To put that in reverse, if you subtract a quarter from the area of the outside square, you get the circle, the area of the circle. So, in the same direction, the inside square is a half the area of the outside square. The circle is one quarter less than the area of the outside square. Another way to put that is the inside square is a half the area of the outside square. The circle is three quarters of the area of the outside square. So what emerges then is that the inside square is a half, the circle is three quarters. So what we have then is that that circle, which is three quarters of the area of the outside square, and the inside square, which is a half, that circle is one half greater in area than the inside square. The ratio of three quarters to a half, which is again the ratio of 3-to-2. In the words of Tosfos, the second wide line, Im kein ha'igul yeser al ribua pnimi chesio shel pnimi. It's one half greater. Ha'ina revia shel ribua chitzon. A half of the inside square is equivalent to a quarter of the outside square. Because the inside square is a half of the outside square, so a half of the inside square is a quarter of the outside square. And since the circle is one quarter less than the outside square, which is equivalent, as Tosis demonstrated, to one half of the inside square. So hence, the area of the circle is one half more of the than the area of the inside square, hence proving the ratio of 3 to 2. As I mentioned earlier, this proportion could have been proven based on the mathematical formulas that we're familiar with of pi r squared, just to demonstrate that without the usage of all of the inside square. If we have a square inside a circle, which is the case we're dealing with in the Gemara, to prove that there's a ratio of 3 to 2 for the areas, we demonstrate it as follows. Let's pick, as we have in this Gemara, an inside square with dimensions of 4 by 4. So the total area of the inside square will be 16. Now we have the circle. How do we measure its area? So in order to measure the area of the circle based on the pi r squared, we have to figure out the diameter. How do we figure out the diameter? We multiply the side of the square to get the diagonal. So it's 4 times the square root of 2. Let's keep it as the square root of 2 because the math will work out a little better that way and neater than the Gemara's approximation. So we have 4 times the square root of 2 is the diameter of the circle, which is also the diagonal of the inside square. So now we use the formula pi r squared to get the area. What's r? The radius. The radius is half of the diameter. So in our case, we have the diameter of 4 times square root of 2. Half of that is 2 times the square root of 2. Now we take that, which is the radius, 2 times the square root of 2, and square it, multiply it by itself. So 2 times the square root of 2 multiplied by itself is 4 times 2. 2 times 2 is 4. The square root of 2 times the square root of 2 is 2. So now we have a total of 8. So that takes care of the r squared, 8. Now we multiply the 8 by pi. We'll approximate it as 3. So we have 24. 24 area units. That's the Kasha and Rabbi Yochanan that he was dealing with circumference, but area units. So what do we have? That the outside circle has 24 area units. The inside square has 16 area units for a ratio of 3 to 2, exactly as Tosis figured, in a somewhat more ingenious and complex way. Okay, so now Tosis engages in some additional mop-up operations in terms of kashas that are raised, one in terms of phraseology, and one in terms of mathematics. So Tosis now write on the fourth wide line, Uktsas Tema. And here he's asking about the lack of parallel language between the previous case on Chesamet Aleph of the outside square and the inside circle, and the language that's used over here concerning the outside circle and the inside square. We're using the Bach's emendation, Uksas Tema, Tilanokit Ribua Denofik Migoi Igula Tilsa, Tahainu Tilsa Mikola Igul. The phraseology here is that a ribua, the nafik migoi gula, a square inside a circle, it used the term palga. So why didn't it use the term tilsa? What would that mean, tilsa third? Tahainu tilsa mikola eagle. And why is that a better language to use? Kihechi, just like the nakat igula, the nafik migoi ribua, and chesamet aleph, when it spoke about a circle inside a square, riva, it used the term a quarter. Tahainu riva mikola ribua. Referring to a quarter from the whole square. To recall, the fractions that are used, we called fractions that are milabar, that are external fractions. At least that's what was used on Chesamet Aleph concerning the circle inside and the square outside. But another way of seeing that, and that's the way Tosis is presenting it, is that when you take away from the outside unit a certain fraction, then you get the area of the inside unit. So when the outside unit is a square and the inside unit is a circle, so there, the fraction you have to take away from the square in order to get the inside unit is a quarter. And that fraction is a regular fraction of Milagav. As we mentioned earlier, that there's a symmetry here, that if you add, and you add a fraction Milabar, so when you take away, you're going to take away a fraction Milagav. Imagine it's a ratio of 4 to 3. You take away a quarter of 4, which is 1, and then you get 3. So by parallel, if you're talking about an outside circle and an inside square, where the ratio is 3 to 2, so what we should be saying here is that the fraction that has to be removed in order to get the inside square, in this case, from the outside circle should be a third, as Rashi pointed out, a half, which is a third. So why didn't we say a third to make it directly parallel to the language that's used on the Amud Aleph in the opposite case of the square outside and the circle inside? Also using a regular fraction of a third, milagav, rather than the fraction that seems to be used, which is a half, milabar. So why isn't it parallel? Again, in the words of Tosfos, the lanoket ribua denofik migoye gula tilsa. Again, adding on the word from the Bach. Tahainu tilsa mikola eagle. That of the total area, you're taking away one third of the total area to chisel it down to the square inside. Kihechi denoket eagle denofik migoye ribua river. Tahainu river mikola ribua. Where you're chiseling away a quarter of the area in order to get the inside circle. Why aren't the languages parallel? Here the Gemara used the term palga instead of a third, instead of tilsa. A milabar fraction instead of a milagav fraction. And earlier the Gemara used the term ribua, which is what we would expect because you actually remove a quarter in order to get to the inside circle when you have the square outside. An ordinary milagav fraction of a quarter. So therefore, Tosis explains that the language of palga is actually referring to the actual case of the two squares from which Tosis points out is where the Gemara got it from, that idea of area. L'chach yesh lefaresh, t'hanach trei mili, kaimi. Those two ideas are both true. Palga is true and rova is true, and both from the same perspective. That they're both milagav, as Tosas will now explain. The airi ke'ein shepirashti, that is referring to something along the lines they explained earlier, shows the eagle betoch ribua vechozer ve'osa ribua acher betoch oso eagle. You have a square on the outside, and then inside you put in a circle, and inside the circle you put in a square. Betoch oso eagle. And presumably the reason we're referring to that kind of situation is because that's the way you prove this concept as Tosas developed earlier. Osa lemeimar, and the Gemara is coming to say, shenismait ha'ogel rova shel ribua hachitzon, that the circle inside the outside square, the area of it is lessening the area of the outside square by a quarter, as we said before. Rova shel ribua hachitzon, a quarter of the outside square. V'ribua pnimi, and the inside square, nismait me ribua hachitzon palga. The inside square is going to be a half of the outside square, as Tosis proved earlier. So in both cases, the fraction of ribua, which the Gemara used on Chesam and Aleph, and the fraction of palga, which the Gemara is using in Chesam and Beis, are all referring to how much you have to take away from the outside square in order to get the shape we're referring to. So the ribua is referring to getting to the shape of the circle, and the palga is referring to getting to the shape of the inner square, vis-a-vis the outside square. Rova upalga kaimi aribua chitzon. The fraction of a quarter that we're taking away and the fraction of a half that we're taking away is both referencing the outer square, and therefore the lashonos are parallel. And again, it would appear that the mentioning of the inside square, which seems not to be directly relevant here, is presumably because that's the way this 3-2 measurement of the and ratio of the outside circle and the inside square is arrived at. Finally, Tosis just asks a question that creeps up based on the diagrams that he drew, and that runs as follows. Imtomar, v'halo ribua shel shiva al shiva. If you take a square of 7x7, imtasebo ogel shel sheva al sheva, if you make an inscribed circle also of 7x7, meaning diameter of 7, amot, v'tachzor v'tase v'tocha ogel ribua shel alaksono, and then you're going to make an inside square that's turned on its side looking like a diamond, as Tosis keeps drawing, shel alaksono shiva kemidas ha'ogel. So the diagonal of the square is going to equal 7, which is the diameter of the circle. Right? You just look in the diagram, that inside square, its diagonal is going to be 7, which is also the diameter of the circle, which is also the side of the outside square. So we have the outside square now not of 10 by 10, but 7 by 7. And the diameter of the circle is 7. And the diagonal of the inside square is also 7. So now we're going to try to figure out the side of the inside square to figure out its area. So, Havalei ribua pnimi, chamisha al chamisha. So it's going to turn out that the inside square has measurements of 5 by 5. How so? Lefi cheshbon shel amso trechumshi balaksona. Since every amma on the side is going to lead to an amma and 2/5 of an amma in the diagonal. So now going in the reverse direction, if a side of 5 is going to yield a diagonal of 7, so a diagonal of 7 in the reverse direction, dividing now by 1 2/5 rather than multiplying by 1 2/5, so a diagonal of 7 is going to yield a side of 5. So from here we can calculate that in this kind of diagram with a 7 by 7 outside square and a 7 diameter circle and a 7 diagonal square in the middle, which is all the same measurement, so that the sides of the square are going to be 5 by 5. So if so, multiplying that together to get the area of the inside square, mashkachasla seitosvis, biribua pnimi, it turns out that the inside square is yeser mechesio shel chitzen. It's more than half of the outside. Yesh bifnimi chof heiritzu shel amal amma. It's going to have 25 strips of an amma by an amma. Again, Tosfos is always measuring strips of an amma by an amma. We would just do it by multiplying 5 by 5 is 25. But Tosfos already had proved that the inside square is exactly half of the outside square because it's made up by having each of the four inner squares of the outside square. Tosfos summarizes of a chitzon lamashkachas elamem tes, but the outside in the example he gave only has 49 square units of measurement, because the example he gave is a 7 by 7 outside square, which is 49. But if you work out the math, 7 by 7 outside square, 7 diameter circle, 7 diagonal of the inside square, 5 is the side of the inside square, 5 times 5 is 25 as the area of the inside square. But if we measure the area of the inside square by having 49, which is the area of the outside square, we don't get 25, we get 24 and a half. So why doesn't the math work out? So Tosfos writes, the math doesn't work out because that ratio of the side to the diagonal of 1 to 1.4 or 1 to 1 and 2 and 5th amma is not precise, as Tosfos noted on the previous amud. Yesh lomar, shezet taloy, this is dependent b'ma she'ochachnu, as we proved earlier, the cheshbon shel amso trechumshi, eino mechuven, that is not precise, the ikatfei, that there's a little more in the diagonal to that. Vim kain, if so, ein b'ribua ha'pnimi hey al hey. Here it works in the reverse direction, that if the diagonal is 7, so you have to divide that not by 1.4, but by slightly more than 1.4. We pointed out earlier that it's really defined as the square root of 2, which you're dividing not by 1.4, but by 1.4142. Some extra numbers too. So ein b'ribua ha'pnimi hey al hey, because you're dividing by more than 1.4 into the number 7. Dem hayabo hayal hay, if it really had 5 by 5, haya alaksona ola tfei mizayin, then the diagonal would be more than 7, because you'd be multiplying 5 times 1.4142. So here in the reverse direction, where you're starting with a diagonal of 7, you have to divide by 1.4142. And then, when you multiply that together, that slightly less than 5, each side of the square, and then you multiply by itself to get the total square area of the inside square, you indeed will wind up not with 25, as Tosfos' previous calculation arrived at, but rather 24.5, which is exactly half of the 49, which you would expect. To be a little more specific with the math, if we take our 7 diagonal and we divide it by the accurate measurement of not 1.4, but by the square root of 2, so it turns out to be 4.9497, plus some extra numbers. So if you multiply that 4.9497 by itself, you indeed turn out to get exactly what we'd expect, half of 49, which is 24.5, and not the 25. So with this, we conclude these rather unique tosasin, the three mathematical tosasin dealing with the circles and squares and their various areas, and the ingenious proofs that the Balei HaTosas developed, either not being aware of or trying to explain it in more layman's terms of the formulas of geometry of pi r squared, etc. Tosas the Rimaschel v'teve chitzoina beis shar lepnimis v'tischaye v'mezuzah. The Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Levi in the name of Rabbi Meir. So when you have two sukkas hayotzrims, two booths that are utilized by artisans, craftsmen, so the outer one where they sell the wares and perhaps also make the wares, so that's kosher to be a sukkah, but pater and mezuzah. The inner one where the yotzer lives, so that inner chamber is chayv mezuzah because that's where he lives, even though it's not kavua, it's not of a permanent kind of structure, it's of a flimsy nature, but it's still chayiv mezuzah, because that's where he lives. And on the other hand, it's disqualified for being a sukkah, because Rashi points out it's not nikkur that it's for sukkah, because he lives there. So in questioning why the outer one is pater from mezuzah, the Gemara asks that granted that he doesn't live there, let it at least be a beis shar, or an entranceway for the inner one. As we shall see in the Tosfos, there's a brayso in Masechet Menachos that a beis shar, an entranceway, is chayiv and mezuzah. So why isn't this chayiv? And the Gemara answers because it's not permanent. It's not kaviya. It's not made of permanent materials. Even though it sounds like from Rashi that it's utilized the whole year, but it's a sukkah. It's not made out of permanent materials, and therefore that kind of beis shar is potter. Rashi seems to add that it's a beis shar into itself, a room where even though the yotzer lives in, but it's also temporary. The Rama might disagree. Okay. So now, Tosis just comments on a stira in sources concerning the status of a beis shar. Tosis writes, a beis shar chayiv mezuzah. A beis shar is ordinarily chayiv mezuzah. Kedetanya ba'komitz rabba in menachas daflam gimel beis. Beis shar achsadra umur peses chayiv mezuzah. The Beis Shar, Rashi explains, the Masechet Menachos is normally a room that's created right before a courtyard, in front of a courtyard where the guard stays. So it's a Beis Shar, a Shar, a gate, and a bayis. It's a house there where the guard stays. So that's Chayiv Mezuzah, says the Gemara Menachos, together with an Achsadra, which you've seen before. Achsadra is either a three or four wall structure. That's what the Gemara discusses there in Menachos. We'll see in a little bit. Usually is supported by columns and it has rooftops on covering part of the area. Umur peset, a porch. Chayav me mezuzah. So beishar, achsad me peset, they're all chayav mezuzah. So what's relevant to us is that beishar is chayav, and hence the Gemara's kasha. Why doesn't the outer sukkah of the yotzer serve as a beishar? Because it's like a gateway into, similar to the beishar of the guard in front of the chotzer, it's a gateway into the house where the yotzer lives. So Tos has a stira. Contradiction, v'tema, to the perek hamidi yom and the first perek of Masech the yom, the fyodal from a beis, amrinan, the bematinan lahum a mezuzah, that a beis shar is explicitly excluded from mezuzah, together with achsadra and peses. Everything in the list that's mentioned there in Menachos, that is chayiv, is mentioned in yom, that is potter. Midachsev, that is written, bayis. Uchsavtam al mezuzah, beisecha v'sherecha. Ma bayis miyuchad ledira, just as a house is designated for living. These are not meant for living. Neither a beis shar. You don't live in the guard doesn't live there in the beis shar. It's just where he stays to watch. And same thing with an achsadra and a repeses. So we have a blatant stira between two gemaras. One gemara obligating all these in mezuzah, directly relevant in our discussion of the beis shar, but the others are a contradiction too. And the gemara in yoma exempting. So Tosis quotes two answers and he prefers one. V'yesh mechalkin bein psuchin levayis lepsuchin legina. Some distinguish between whether the beis shar, or presumably the other items as well, the achsadra and the repeses, are they open to a house? Are they adjoining a house, which itself is chayiv mezuzah? Or are they open to some kind of garden, which is pater mezuzah, because you don't live in a garden. In other words, are they open into a place of chiyuv, or are they open into a place of ptur? this approach, where these items of the Beishar, the Achsar, and the Pesis are open into a place of Chiyuv, that makes them obligated. And the way the Rishonim explained that view, which is the view of the Rif, and presumably of the Rambam, that the Beishar and the Achsar and the Pesis are not independently Chayiv, but they're Chayiv in a secondary way because they lead into a place of Chiyuv. The Beishar leads into a place where that is Chayiv, namely a house, and therefore it is Chayiv because it serves as, so to speak, an entranceway into it. So it's a secondary Chiyuv, but Chayiv. And a simple level, they hold as Chayiv min HaTorah. But if it's open into a garden, a backyard, so then that is Potter, that place. And therefore it's open into a place that's Potter. So it itself is Potter. And it can't be Chayiv for being a secondary entranceway into a place of Chiyuv because the Gina is Potter. This is the view of the Rif and the Rambam and other Rishonim too. And of course, that would be the case over here, that the kasha that the Gemara had is that the outer Sukkah Sayotzer should serve as a Beis Shara to the inner Sukkah Sayotzer. The inner Sukkah Sayotzer is where the artisan lives, and therefore it's Chayiv Mezuzah. So the Gemara had asked to let the outer Sukkah be Chayiv as a Beis Shara for that. And then the Gemara says, it's not permanent enough. It's not Kaviya, either that house itself, that room itself, or both of them, as Rashi says, are not kavua. So you can't have a beishar that itself is temporary into a house that's only of a temporary flimsy nature. So Tos has a kasha on this approach of the Rif and the other Rishonim. The kasha, Dim Kain, if that is the case, that there's such an idea that a beishar is chayiv in a Torah when it's open into a place of chiyuv, havalei l'shinuyei hochi hosam b'menachis. It should have given exactly the answer in Masechta Menachis, where it raised the stira not about beishar but about achsadra. The Parach had Rav Chista that it challenged Rav Chista's statement to Amr Achsadra Ptura min Mezuzah, who had said that an Achsadra is exempt from Mezuzah. And the Gemara had attacked Rav Chista's statement that how could you say that Achsadra is part of a Mezuzah? But the Bryce that Otos quoted earlier, which is quoted right there in Menachis, says that an Achsadra, together with the Beishar and the Mepeses, Achayv Mezuzah. And the Gemara answered, as we briefly alluded to earlier, it depends what the nature of the fourth wall is, that if the fourth wall is just supported by columns, in which case it's called Achzuki Tikra, where those columns are just meant to support the roof that's on top of the Achsadra, so then those columns don't serve as a doorway and are not Chayiv Mezuzah. But if it has some kind of real doorway, so then it will be Chayiv Mezuzah. That's the way the Gemara resolved the contradiction with Achsadra. So ask Tosfos, why did the Gemara have to give that no idea where it changes the structure of the Achsadra? Why don't we just play around with where the Achsadra is open into? I remember in Kerem Yavne, we had an Achsadra like that. I think it's called Beis Breinen, where we entered into some kind of Achsadra, exactly that. And then from the Achsadra, you went into classrooms. So it's open into a place of Chiyuv. So according to Rif's approach, then the Achsadra would be Chayiv. But if it stands by itself, or it's open just into a garden, so then it'll be Potter. So why didn't the Gemara answer that rather than changing around the architecture of the fourth wall and saying the different architectures have different statuses? So therefore, based on that kasha of the fact that the Gemara didn't give that distinction, so therefore Tos rejects that distinction that the Rif gives, because had it been true, the Gemara should have given that distinction in answer to the question on Rav Chista. And therefore Tos maintains that it doesn't matter whether the Beis Shara is open to a place of Chiyuv or Ptur. Either way, we have a problem that needs solving. So therefore, Tosfos gives his own approach in to resolve these two Gemaras. V'sarach lomar, hadaraisa hadarabanan. That the Gemara in Yoma that said that the Beishar and the Achsadra and the Mepeses are Potter, it means they're Potter min HaTorah. And the Gemara in Menachos says they're Chayiv, it means they're Chayiv derabanan. And that's the way to resolve that distinction. It seems to be different nuances within the Rishonim when it's Chayiv derabanan. Is it only Chayiv derabanan if it's adjacent to a Makom Chiyuv, such as to a house? Or is it always Chayiv Derabanan, even if it's open to a Makom Ptur, like a Gina, that it itself, having a house-like structure, is at least Chayiv Derabanan? So that's a further discussion in the poskim. So now Tosfos challenges his own answer, that how does that work out with Menachos in terms of the question of Chista? And that which the Gemara didn't answer that concerning the Kasha with Rav Chista, that Rav Chista said that an Achsadra is Potter. And then we quote the Braisa that says an Achsadra is Chayiv. So why can't you give a similar distinction? That the Braisa that says an Achsadra is Chayiv, it just means it's Chayiv Derabanan. And Rav Chista says it's Potter, it just means it's Potter min HaTorah, but he'll agree that it's Chayiv Derabanan. So Tosis says that with my approach, we have a simple answer. So Tosis explains that the reason the Gemara didn't give that answer, the mashmalei the Rav Chista p'tur legamri ka'amar afilami the Rabbanan. Rav Chista made a blanket statement that an achsadra is pater, and I'm adding in a word of an amora where the Gemara says amora havle the farish, that amora should spell out his words more. So Rav Chista says pater sounds like it's pater legamri and not a fancy pater, that it just means pater min haTorah but chayiv the Rabbanan. So that's why the Gemara attacked Rav Chista. Rav Chista says pater is mashma pater legamri. And we have a price that says Chayiv, which is at least Chayiv the Rabbanan. So therefore, the Gemara had to give a different answer concerning the architecture of the fourth wall, whether it's a real doorway or it's just meant to support the roof. So in sum, Tosis have two approaches, which is very far-reaching in terms of Hilchus Mezuzah. Not really so relevant in Hilchus Sukkah, somewhat tangential for our purposes, as to how do we resolve these two contradictory sources concerning Beishar, Achsadrim, and Preses, being pater or chayiv, is it that they're all chayiv the Rabbanan, or that they're totally pater when they open up into a place of ptur, and they're totally chayiv min haTorah when they open up into a place of chayiv? And this has far-reaching ramifications in terms of hallways and things of that nature. What is the nature of that chayiv? And it might have ramifications in terms of the dimensions of these things, that maybe they don't have to have dalet al dalet if you go with the approach of the Rif, dalet al dalet amis, that is, because Rashash and others point out. Because maybe if his whole chiyuv is secondary and not primary, so maybe it doesn't need to be a livable area in and of itself. The Gemara had mentioned that there are eight kinds of sukkos that are only made letzeil, they're only made for shade, and they're not made for the purpose specifically of sukkos, and are still kosher, and it's files of Yehuda Beis Hillel in the next Mishnah, that all you need is a sukkah that's made for tzeil. It doesn't have to be made l'shem mitzvah sukkah. So those sukkahs are called ganvach and rakvash. So within the list of ganvach, it's an mnemonic device. So we have goyim, noshim, behema, and kusim. So Tosfos is just commenting on the sukkah of kusim, because the Gemara had said in terms of the interrelationship between the groupings of ganvach and rakvash that each one has a chiddush over the other one. That you might have thought that one group is puzzle, even if the other one was kosherized. In the end, all of them are kosher. But as alluded to by the various braises that say, and sukkah mikol makom. So both ganvach and rakvash are kosher. So within the braise that I quoted the rakvash, the Gemara said that you might have thought that the ganvach sukkahs are puzzle, because the ganvach are, in the language of the Gemara, not for b'nei chiyuva. They're not made for people who are chayiv in the midst of sukkah. So what is the list of ganvach? Again, goyim, noshim, behemos, and kusim. So non-Jews, of course, are totally potter from sukkah. Women are potter because of mitzvah magrama, behema, of course, and kusim. So here we see explicitly that kusim are not chayiv in sukkah. Now who are these kusim? So of course, the kusim were the people that were transferred from the kingdom of Ashur in the days of the exile of the 10 tribes. And they were exiled from outside of Eretz Yisrael and put into Eretz Yisrael, which was the practice then, to no one should feel at home, so they shouldn't rebel against the underlying empire. So the kusim started being eaten by the lions because they were over the Avodah Zarah, and they got a hold of a Jewish kohen who told them that, well, you're not worshiping the God of the land, and therefore you're being punished. So they became gerim, they became Jewish. But as the text indicates, that they served the Shemiz Barach, but they also served the Getchkis. They served Eloheim HaYavovdim. So the Gemara has a discussion whether they were true converts or fake converts, meaning was their Geirus valid. In the language of the Gemara, Geiri Arayos or Geiri Emes. Geirim as a result of the lions, Arayos with an Aleph, or Geirim of truth. So Tos points out that the Kusim here are described as being Patim in a Sukkah. So that means that our Gemara is assuming that they were Geri Arayos in the sense that their conversion was totally invalid. But that's a machlok in the Gemara. Is our Gemara taking sides in that debate? So that's the topic of Tosus. So Tosus writes as follows, Kol hanach tekachoshev hocha amar b'shmaitin delav b'nei chiyuvaninu. All those listed in the Ganvach list as well are not obligated in Sukkah. Delav b'nei chiyuvaninu. The kasavar Geri Arayos saying, because our Gemara holds that they are Geri Arayos and not Geri Emes. And indeed, it's taking sides in that machlokus. If you'd hold Geri Emes, so then they would be chayiv in sukkah. So now Tosis has a kasha on that general concept of the view of Geri Arayos, where the Kusim are not considered valid because they had this ulterior motivation of the lions. And this kasha, of course, will be relevant to all the places that the Gemara raised this view. And that which he says in the second book of Yevamis, the Chav Dalar Mabez, the Echad Geri Arayos, the Echad Geri Chalomos, Halacha Kulam Gerim. The Gemara there quotes the machlokis between Rabbi Nechemia and the Chachamim, as to whether or not a convert for an ulterior motive is b'di'eved a kosher convert. Rabbi Nechemia holds no, and the Chachamim holds yes. And the Gemara concludes that Halacha Kulam Gerim, that indeed, at least b'di'eved, they are all converts, because this is very relevant to the issue of converting for the sake of what would have been an intermarriage had the convert not converted. So the Gemara seems to state, and it does not seem to tie it into the machlokis, whether Geri Arayos or Geri Emes in Shas about the Kusim, that it doesn't matter what the motivation is, even if it's an ulterior motive, that lechatchila we don't accept such converts, but with the Eved, all those converts are valid. The Tosus asks, how then can there be the Shas Machlokis, part of which appears here, about whether the Kusim are Geri Arayos and therefore invalid? The Gemara says Geri Arayos are valid because, although there was an ulterior motive, but the Eved is good. Just to explain a little better, the Ritva there on the Gemara Yevamis explains that even though it was an ulterior motive, but it should be no worse than Tel Yuv Azavin. The Gemara has a concept that even if someone is forced into a transaction, but he chose to save his body or his life rather than not going through the transaction. So though he had some kind of motivation, but that was a duress of sorts, but bottom line, he agreed to it. So here also, there was an ulterior motive, but bottom line, he agreed to Judaism. So therefore, but the evidence kosher. So that's what Tosus asks, if that's the case. So how could there be a view that Geri Arayos saying it's not good, but the Gemara concludes that it is good? So Tosus answers, Hani Mili Kishenes Gairu Lagamri. That's only where, in the end, they totally converted. Again, similar to that ritva that we quoted, that in the end, even though there's an ulterior motive, say, to marry a Jewish girl, or because of the fear of the lions, or because of some kind of dream that spooked him or inspired him to convert. But the bottom line is, they converted. And they, amakavah mitzvos, and they're going to keep Torah mitzvos. So, in such a circumstance, again, the Gemara's conclusion is that Halacha kulam gerim, alo geri kusim, but the converts of the kusim, ksiv b'seif malachim explicitly, es Hashem ayureim, es Eloheim ayuovdim, that they feared God, but they still worshipped their avodah zarah. So that, hence, the geri arayos hold that it's an invalid conversion, because there the motivation did not get them to fully accept Torah mitzvos, because they still were worshipping avodah zarah. So it wasn't like a gun to the head and they went through the sale. It was a gun to the head and they didn't go through the sale. So the sale's not valid. So now Tosus bounces back and says, so if that's true, an explicit pasuk that says that they really didn't convert, not sincerely for, in terms of motivation, but they didn't convert because they weren't mekabel mitzvos because they didn't keep them. So how could there be an opinion of Geri Emes and therefore they are acceptable? So now Tosus explains, Amandam Akusim Geri Emes, Kasavar the Achakach Niskenu. The one who was Geri Emes agrees that the initial conversion was invalid because they didn't convert, because they didn't accept Torah mitzvos from the get-go. But afterward, they were fixed. What does Tosus mean, afterward they were fixed? So this is a sub-debate, again, especially relevant to contemporary Geri's controversies, that either Achkach Niskenu can mean that subsequently they started keeping mitzvot, but they didn't actually go through another conversion, or Achkach Niskenu that they went through another conversion. And at that point, when they were sincere in keeping the mitzvos, they converted again. So that, of course, is very relevant to ulterior motives where people converted. And even from the get-go, there wasn't the kabbalah's mitzvos. What do you need later? Do you need a total new conversion, which is the opinion of many, many poskim? Or is it enough just from then on to start keeping mitzvos, and that will somehow retroactively kosherize the geiris that was done initially?